Right now, another story from today's news. The great Bob Hope died of pneumonia at his home in California last night. This comes 2 months after his 100th birthday. Known as the master of the one-liners, Hope also starred in vaudeville, radio, television, and, of course, the movies. But perhaps his most visible role was not in other places. It was on a series of stages in faraway places in front of American troops. Here he is in 1964 in Bien Hoa, Vietnam.
What a welcome I got at the airport. They thought I was a replacement. As we flew in today, they gave us a 21-gun salute. Three of them were ours. I understand the enemy's very close, but with my act, they always are. Now we're happy to be. You know, I asked Secretary McNamara if I could come here, and he said, why not? We tried everything else.
Bob Hope on a USO tour in Vietnam in 1964. If you'd like to share memories of Bob Hope, our phone number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, and our email address is TOTN at NPR.org. Later, we'll be talking about his roles in the movies, but back to those USO tours. He was always accompanied by some of the most beautiful and attractive stars to entertain the troops. Joining us now from Lake Tahoe, California, is Anne Margaret, the former Elvis girl, the star of Kitten with a Whip, and, of course, many other movies, toured with Bob Hope and the USO tour in Vietnam. Anne Margaret, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Well, I'm thrilled to be here.
Can you tell us about those days traveling with Bob Hope and the USO?
Oh, my goodness. First of all, I just wanted to say that 1962 is the first time that I met him. I performed one of the 5 nominated songs at the Academy Awards, and when I did A Bachelor in Paradise, he said, after I left the stage, he said, Anne Margaret, I thought that was a trick pony. Because no one has ever heard of me. I only had done one movie, and it hadn't even come out yet.
Mm-hmm.
But
obviously before Bye Bye Birdie.
Oh, yeah, and Viva Las Vegas, and Tommy, and Carnal Knowledge, and everything. 1968. First of all, in 1966, I'd gone to Vietnam with Johnny Rivers and bassist and drummer. And then 1968, I went with Bob to Vietnam and, you know, all the bases. And I want to also tell you that I honor and respect all of our men and women in the military. Hmm. I always have and I always will.
What do you remember about him backstage?
Well, I remember his humor was always fantastic, and he wrote a lot of the things that he said. Everyone always thinks that all the writers always, everything that came out of his mouth, but no, he wrote a lot of it. I remember, and I saw Linda Hope saying about his catnaps.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things I noticed most about him. When we were flying over there during the 22 hours going over to Vietnam, he all of a sudden said, where's Bob? He had found himself a little cove with a little cot and took 10-minute naps that refreshed him. And he taught me a lot about timing. And he just represented the very best in all of us. He was charitable and kind and really generous. My friends and I were walking. We walk every week, once a week, and all through the hills. And there's one place I'd never been to. It's a conservancy, and somebody said that, yes, Mr. and Mrs. Hope gave this to the state. And just miles and miles and miles of beautiful scenery. What can I say? An American treasure, a national treasure.
Anne Margaret, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Actress and singer Anne Margaret joined Bob Hope's USO tours of Vietnam in 1966 and 68. She spoke to us from her hotel in Lake Tahoe, where she's filming another movie. Joining us now from Baghdad is Staff Sergeant J.J. Johnson. He's a press information officer with the Army Reserves, a veteran of many campaigns and many USO shows. And thanks very much for being with us.
Well, thank you very much. And, yeah, I've done a couple USO shows. We had In Macedonia, Mrs. Cohen, Madam Cohen, Secretary of Defense's wife, brought Clint Black and Al Franken and the group around. I never got to see Bob Hope, but he was the biggie. And, you know, Bob Hope was really the guy that brought the love and emotion, you know, from America to the troops, no matter where we were. You know, and you can just generations and generations of soldiers that, you know, had that yellow ribbon feeling from home, and Bob brought it over. And he also, the hope and honor and, you know, all the things that we went away and fought for, Bob also took that back home to the people back across the river, or across the ocean for us.
Has there been any reaction from the troops there? As you say, they're all too young to have. Well, I guess he did his last show in the Persian Gulf after the war there. So, what, in 1991, 92?
Right around that time, yes, sir. Well, a lot of the troops, there are some that are old enough to remember him, and it's definitely a feeling of, you know, a letdown feeling. You know, we know that his shoes won't be filled, and you can tell some of the people that I've talked to, they were just like, you know, it's just a sad feeling that, you know, somebody that cared so much for us, you know, when we went away to fight and we went away to do what we were doing, and somebody that cared all the time.
Let's get on the line with a caller, and Lawrence joins us from Richfield, North Carolina.
Yes. Hello, Neil. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was in Vietnam in the 25th Infantry Division in 1966 when Bob Hope came, and I had been there nearly a year, and with all the frustrations and pain that goes with war, I can only say that the knowledge that he was coming buoyed our hopes like they hadn't been in months. And when he got there, it was just absolutely one of the greatest moments of my life up to that time. That year, he had a dancer with him named Joey Heatherton, and had Miss World and Les Brown and some of those troop members, and it was just a joy to have them. He brought us, well, his name was just right. He brought so much hope. And I was actually in the audience, and I had always wondered about this in programs I had seen. When he would sing White Christmas, you know, there's very few dry eyes, even in combat. But it was a memory. I got his autograph just last year when he was in the hospital. I sent a book out to his press agent, and he got it signed for me. So I have that memory, too. But it was just, he was a great American, and he'll be really missed. And thanks, Neil, for taking my call.
We appreciate it, Lawrence. Thanks very much. Staff Sergeant Johnson, you've been to, as we mentioned, a lot of USO shows. Do they still have the effect that he was just described?
Yeah. Just the USO shows still bring that, you know, the honor and the tradition of, you know, people care that we're doing what we're doing. All these people, you know, USO people don't make much money. Bob Hope did not make much money from doing those shows at all. So, and a lot of the people take a lot of time out of their day or out of their career, you know, to come and entertain us, and it means a lot. Just the fact that they do it means something. But what Bob brought to it was, you know, something a little bit more special than that. There were very few people that bridged the gap, you know, between the soldiers that were away and what was going on at home. I mean, very few people in history, maybe like Ernie Pyle, the famous writer from World War II, and Bob Hope, and a very short list of others that, you know, done that. And they did that out of true patriotism, and, you know, I'm just honored that they did that for us.
Sergeant Johnson, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
Staff Sergeant J.J. Johnson on the line with us from Baghdad in Iraq. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Obviously, Bob Hope, a star, as we mentioned, on radio, on television, in vaudeville, the USO show tours, but we will remember him best for his role in the movies. Perhaps his best-known movies were a string of road pictures that he made with his buddy Bing Crosby, and here they are from The Road to Morocco.
You think we got enough gas?
I got a carburetor cut down to nothing. Where do you suppose we are?
This must be the place where they empty all the old hourglasses.
I think this is what's left after I clean my spinach. Hey, look.
They could have thought of another way to get us here.
There we go again, Junior.
We're off on the road to Morocco.
Oh, where's Dorothy L'Amour? Bob Hope and Bing Crosby in The Road to Morocco. And joining us now is A.O. Scott, a film critic for The New York Times. Very nice of you to come in today.
Nice to be here, Neil. Thanks.
Let's talk about the series of road pictures that he did. They're generally considered the highlight of his movie career. Do you agree?
I think they probably are, and they certainly were what cemented him as a major star in the movies. I mean, one of the things, as you were alluding to before, that's so remarkable about him is that he was a major star in just about every medium of American popular culture in the 20th century, from vaudeville to Broadway to radio, and then to the movies. And I think these are they're you know, they seem in some ways as silly now as they probably did then, but they're wonderful, full of sort of music and adventure and crazy sets, and they were enormously popular. I mean, Bob Hope, who for people of my and perhaps our generation is a kind of nostalgic figure on television specials, was in the 1940s and early 50s one of the top 10 box office draws according to the exhibitors poll in Hollywood. And in 1949 he was indeed the number one box office star. So it's kind of amazing to think of someone who had that kind of longevity in the movies, and who was that big a star so consistently, turning out two or three pictures a year for all that time.
He didn't have to study for a lot of those roles. He just played himself pretty much.
No, and that's what he always did, I think, in whatever medium he was in. And one of the secrets to his success is that he was always, he figured out fairly early on, I think, who Bob Hope was as a comic persona, and just did that, whatever, you know, the name of his character happened to be, if it was, you know, Fearless Fraser or Turkey Jackson or Monsieur Beaucaire, a rather improbable Frenchman in a 1948 movie of that title.
We have an email on this point from a guy named Scott Ross. He says, he writes that Hope made the coward a lovable icon, perhaps nowhere more so than in the road pictures, his marvelous collaborations with Crosby.
I think that's right. He was always willing to make fun of himself and to sacrifice his own dignity and his own self-regard to get a laugh, which is always the mark, I think, of a great movie comedian.
He was such a natural. He was so comfortable in front of the camera.
Yeah. He was, and I think, I don't know if that came from the vaudeville training and just from the amount that he worked when he was in vaudeville on radio. I mean, the accounts that he has given in interviews of doing, you know, four, five, six shows a day sometimes. So he was very quick, and he had an amazing sense of timing that I think was honed through a lot of practice. And I think he's one of those performers who he's so natural and so easy and so always himself that you can underestimate the professionalism and the precision and the kind of the verbal and physical quickness that gets him through all these movies, and the ability also to play off whoever else is in the movies with him. I mean, the partnership with Bing Crosby, the sort of the contrast of their personalities and their temperaments is one of the great things in those movies. And I think also, like a lot of comedians in movies, he did best when he was partnered with someone who was sort of equally quick and talented and who had a slightly different rhythm that he could play off. So I think that's another reason that the Crosby Road pictures are the best, because he has the kind of the perfect partner and foil.
A.O. Scott, film critic for The New York Times, thanks very much for coming in today.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
He was with us from our bureau in New York, and we appreciate that. We're going to leave you as we remember Bob Hope with a bit of Bob Hope and Shirley Ross. This from one of his first pictures, The Big Broadcast of 1938, where he introduced what became his theme song. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.
Hooray for us. Strictly Entrenew, darling, how are you?
And how are all those little dreams that never did come true?
Awfully glad I met you.
Cheerio and toodaloo.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.